time for our Friday interview. Speeds of up to 200 miles per hour, motorbikes nearly touching on small country roads as riders race to the checkered line. The Northwest 200 is billed as one of the most exciting motorbike events in the world. But safety fears made headlines this week after the death of English rider Simon Andrews. And it's led calls for the event to be reassessed. Our one-on-one interview this week is with Louise Dunlop. She is the wife of the legendary bike rider Robert Dunlop, who died after a crash on the course in 2008. I began by getting her reaction to the latest Northwest 200 tragedy.
Actually, you know something, Stephen? I knew you would ask me that question, and I really think the parents said it all as far as I'm concerned. You know, my heart goes out to them.
Do you understand the debate that's going on at the moment about road racing and whether it should be banned because of deaths and because of people genuinely concerned about safety?
Yes, I can actually, Stephen. It's something that we live with every day, myself and all the family and all the Dunlop people. We all live with that and have done for a long time now. You know, we do have concerns. Of course we do. It's like any sport that is high risk, and there are quite a few of them. Motorcycle racing isn't the only one, you know.
And how do you weigh it up in your own mind then?
How do I weigh it up? I probably have lost more friends and family in equestrian early on. And, you know, Robert always thought that my sport was far, far more dangerous. Where you've got, like, an animal, where you've got machinery, there's always that risk when you're working with either of those that something can go wrong, and very often does.
But isn't the whole point about road racing that the element of risk and the thrill of the risk is part of it, part of the spectacle of it?
It has to be said that, Stephen. It's the same with horse racing. It's that wonderful sort of adrenaline buzz you get with racing, whether it be horse, motorbike, cars, no matter what it is. It's that adrenaline that makes these people, you know, very different to other people. You know?
Have you ever had doubts? Have you ever thought to yourself, I'm coming down here on the side of this sport should be banned?
You know, maybe I have had doubts. I will be a liar to say that I haven't. But I want to just pick up on something that was said. I believe in the Telegraph that there was, you know, there was some terrible things said. Although the article was very good, Stephen, and it highlighted a lot of stuff.
This is an article written by Fionnuala Meredith.
Yeah, it actually was, quite actually nasty, if you want. They're not brave, they're not heroes, they're sensation seekers, and everybody that follows them. And, you know, she made it out that this was kind of like a Neanderthal sport that should have been banned 85 years ago. Well, you know, that's her opinion. And she's certainly welcome to it. But she's actually named John McGuinness, I couldn't believe it. You know, because he said he had to go faster because he obviously had a family. Now, that was something said, as a lot of our riders would say. Robert, indeed, would have said the same. It didn't actually mean he was going to go out and kill himself. He was going to go out and do what he did. And they did it wonderfully. I mean, Joey brought 5 world championships to Northern Ireland. Let's not forget Brian Reid, who brought 1 world championship to Northern Ireland. We've got so many wonderful riders, you know, racing on the roads and indeed short circuits here in Northern Ireland. They're wonderful men. They're not idiots. They're brave. Yeah, they are. Not in my opinion, possibly. I am not a fan of road racing. But for many thousands of people that stand and watch, they're their heroes.
You don't think road racers are brave?
I do. Yes, I do. I think they're incredibly brave. She said they're not brave. I do. Now, I may not be a fan of road racing, Formula One cars, any of that, but I admire every single one of those people for doing what they do, Stephen.
Is there anything can make it safer?
Mervyn and the Coring Club will be looking. You know, there's no doubt the most awful thing that's ever happened is their biggest nightmare has happened, and it has happened. Now they have to sit down, regroup. What could they have done? Now we don't know the circumstances. We don't know mechanical problem. We don't know what happened. But I do know that one of Robert's most serious crashes was a brand new wheel was put in. Brand new wheel. It was mechanical. It was not rider error. Now, you know, I sat and I thought, well, darn that wheel, you know. Robert, on the other hand, wanted to get back. He wanted to get back to what he did. And his mind was sharp, incredibly fit. And who was I to say, I prefer you not to do this? You know? It is, but I think probably...
Is that a conversation you had?
Yeah, I didn't say to him, I prefer you not to do it. What I did say to him was, well, if you're fit enough, you get yourself fit, and let's not forget, he'd been doing it for a long, long time. You know, Robert and Joey were both coming to the end of their careers.
And this, just to be clear, Louise, this was after Robert's accident when he'd been told he would never ride again,
yes.
ride again from the Ironman TT.
Yes.
What happened to him in that accident?
The wheel broke up. It was a brand new wheel. Wonderful team he was with, meticulous in their preparation. But the wheel broke. It disintegrated, as can clearly be seen. And that is something that would never, never happen. And I do believe has never happened again.
And how did you find out about it?
Well, you know, Liam Beckett was in the island and it was clearly seen on the television. And indeed, Robert knew when he was coming round to some sort of, you know, he said to Liam, something happened at the back. It wasn't.
And did you get a phone call, Louise?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
And presumably at that stage you didn't know the extent of his injury?
No, I didn't. No.
Because I'm interested in what it's like for the loved one of a racer. This is why I'm asking you about this. So you go to the hospital, mm-hmm. and what do you see?
Well, you just see what any other normal person would see if somebody's involved in any, you know, crash or whatever, whether it be on the road or anywhere else. You just see what you see, which is relevant to, you know, whatever happens at the time, whether it's in intensive care or whatever. It's all there to be seen, and there are, you know, many people in there for various reasons. Not very nice, no.
And he was left with pretty major injury after.
Yes, he was.
And at that stage, do you not sit down and say, look, you can't keep doing this. Look at yourself.
Yeah, now, funny you should say that. It was something we did sit down and talk about, but we talked more about getting him fit. That wasn't, you just didn't go in and say, well, you know, I'm going to stop you doing this. I'm going to, you and I are, you know, not going to do this anymore. I'm not having a part of it. No, I didn't say that. And I don't think, you know, many people find that strange. But the reasons for that were that Robert loved what he was doing. Let's not forget, too, Stephen, it was his job.
Yeah.
It was his chosen profession and it was his job.
And Robert got his bike modified. He was racing again.
Yes.
And then another fatal crash.
Yes.
Am I able to ask you? Are you comfortable telling me? I just wonder basically that when you got the phone call about that crash,
yes.
because it had happened before, did your brain protect yourself by you thinking, "Oh well, you know, he's got to be all right because he always has been all right."
That's right, Stephen. It is fair to say that I probably thought that immediately. Yes. And indeed, you know, Robert, I can't speak for the rest of them, but I can speak for him, would never have been Robert without his sport. You couldn't have probably, he wouldn't have certainly been as happy being restricted, not being able to do what he loved. And I find it, this is another side of all these racers, particularly, again, I can only speak for Robert, he did so much. And he said to me so many times, if I hadn't got the sport, who would I be? Who could I help? You know, what would I be? I couldn't do the charity work, and he did. I mean, prior to the Northwest, he was always, he went up to the children. He loved children and the hospices. And the children got so excited when they saw him. You know, it brought a great deal of pleasure that he was able to go into these places. And the last time he came out, and indeed Robert's mummy and I were in the kitchen, and we were scolding him about something to do probably with the racing. And he just said, "You don't want to know where I have been," he said. "I saw real sorrow." He said, "Youngsters that will never have a life. Some of them won't be here next year." And he says, "It was lovely just to be part of that and be able to make them smile." Yeah.
What was it night like that night, Louise, when you got the phone call?
Yeah, you know, I have to say, coming back to that, like everybody's worst nightmare.
You go to the hospital and presumably they tell you you've lost them.
Yeah, yeah. That's right, Stephen. You know, it's something that I'm sure there are lots of listeners, I'm not alone, will tell you. And it's not only the sport. There are people all over the world today involved in accidents or illnesses too. Very serious illness. We're not alone, you know.
But he did say, didn't he, that if he were to go, it would probably be on a bike.
Yes, he did. He did indeed. And that, whilst he said that, I thought, oh, what a horrible thought. Again, we lost somebody with very serious illness, a chap that he grew up with. And he came in and he said to me, "How brave." I've just been speaking to him and he hasn't got long to live. How brave. I remember the day Robert got the doctorate, you know, they awarded him at Corrine University. And he went in to his friend and he showed him this stuff. And this man turned to him and said, "It's lovely, Robert." He says, "Imagine somebody from Ballymoney getting that." And this man was dying. And Robert came away. That seriously affected him because he said to me, "They talk about bravery. That was the bravest man I've ever met." So, you know, when our lives are here, when we're living our lives, we don't ever stop and think, what if? You know, if we all had hindsight, it'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? But we haven't. And I've seen also the other side of the sport, the great generosity of these riders. I mean, they're amazing. And going back to Fionnuala, she's very, very wrong in kind of saying that these people are completely mad, sensational seekers. She made them actually like second-class citizens. Whereupon, at the bottom of the end...
To be fair to her, and let me just protect her a little
go on,
here.
Yes.
So she is reflecting an opinion that is definitely out there, that I have definitely heard, which is, do you know what? Human life is worth more than this, and there is an insanity to putting yourself at that level of risk.
Yes, I can understand that. But going back to what you initially said, Stephen, how can we make it safer? I do believe she had a go at the tourists and the government for helping, paying for this. But it's a small amount they give. It is. And I do believe the Corrine Club and Mervyn have used that money very wisely. They've tried their hardest. Now, with respect, we could probably look at maybe having more of a festival where there is longer times, practice times, for these people coming over.
You think that's necessary?
It possibly is another thing, because the event has got so much bigger than probably when Robert and Joey were racing. It's now huge.
And of course, your two sons, Michael and William, they're still racing.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, of course I'm very anxious when they're out there. Of course I am. It has to be said. But as Robert said to me, it wasn't what he wanted, but when they showed that they wanted to do it, they were going to do it, Robert prepared them in the best possible way. He'd have liked them ideally to have been and gone something completely different. But they didn't. They chose this. So he has prepared them as best he can. And he got a great deal of pleasure from watching them, especially in the early days. And I know how proud he would have been of them today. Absolutely. You know, he'd have been over the moon. The risk element, yes, it's there.
Must be tough, that, as a mum.
Yes.
Because your natural instinct as a mother...
To protect.
Yeah.
Yes, of course it is. It's to protect your children at all times. But let's not forget, and Simon's parents said it maybe better than I can, that they're grown men now. They make choices.
You're still mum, though, Louise.
Yes. As a mum. I actually worry about them when they're on the roads. I'm just thankful that they don't ride their bikes on the roads. They keep it within the circuits or road races. That, quite frankly, I would find very hard to live with if I thought they were putting the helmet on and racing about the public highways, yeah. Where we can't account for tractors pulling out, cars pulling out that don't see them. You know, we try and make the sport safe. I know they do. It is incredibly hard. And at this moment in time, everybody wants to talk about banning. And maybe they do this after the Grand National. They do it after certain things and fatalities happen. They want to ban it, don't they?
How much do you miss Robert?
Oh, greatly. Absolutely. There isn't a day goes by, Stephen, when you don't, you know, I can see him at the Northwest cheering his boys on and being so proud. We all miss him greatly.
And the film The Road that has been made about the Dunlop Racing family.
Yes.
I haven't seen it myself, but I hear it's an incredible film.
Oh, Stephen. It's when I saw it, I don't know if I want to see it actually again. But then when you're sitting there in the cinema and the big screens are up, you actually get that feeling that the boys are still with us all. You know, everybody is still as they were. It's William and Michael, they had a pray that I wasn't with them. We all, Robert's mummy and the girls, we went, and then the boys, I think they were away testing, and they came in later on and had another private setting. And William was very upset, as was Michael. But then, when we went in and watched it in Belfast, William was so proud of his dad. And proud of his uncles, proud of everybody, you know, that whatever small input they have done, they've raised the profile of the Dunlop name, and I think William was very proud.
It must have been tough going through it, watching it.
Yes, it is. It's not a shadow.
Because it's a very emotional film, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. I might say, though, because it's a documentary, and because it is in a very, you know, small time period, it shows a lot of the sad side. But, you know, our lives weren't like that at all. Yeah, there was very grim moments, and there were sad, I have to say that, Stephen. But there was an awful lot of fun and laughter. There really was. And some, you know, it was great fun growing up in that sort of early days and seeing a side of life that was very different to what the racing is certainly today. But, yeah, it seemed fun then. You know, when you're younger, it does. It does. Everything is great fun. Then, of course, Robert realised he was quite good at this sport and went professional. So then it was his living. Things became a lot more serious then, because you then made a chosen choice in your life to make this your profession.
I know very, very little about road racing, but what I've noticed over the last few days... is the passion that there is on both sides of the argument. And we've kind of discussed those people who feel it should be banned, but I should also say that there are those people who are very, very passionately protective of the sport. And I've seen and heard and listened to them over recent days.
Yes, you probably find that, though, Stephen, in most sports, won't you? If we don't understand something, if it's something that we personally don't understand, the first thing we'll say is it should be banned. But again, another thing Robert said to me, we're a bit of a nanny state where we have to have everything so safe we don't want to live. You know, we can't live. Which probably goes full circle to these people that do race cars, bikes, whatever it might be, that they're just a little bit more adventurous in their mindset. And when we don't understand that, we want to ban it, don't we, to protect them.
And just finally, Louise, what's the legacy that Robert has left behind?
I think you just have to see the people that, quite frankly, put him up on a pedestal so high that, and this isn't the reason he did the sport, but they made him feel very special. He didn't feel special in himself, no. He always said, this is something that I do, and I don't know why people find it so, you know, that they should do this to me or honour me in this way. But he was very humble that way. But indeed, another thing, you know, you can't have it both ways. He always said that he enjoyed what he did. People knew him, and he met people, and he travelled the world. He met so many different people. Ordinarily, if he had not been doing and enjoying his life, that wouldn't have been Robert, no. He wasn't going to be retiring. He certainly wasn't wanting to walk round the supermarket with me doing the shopping. No, that was never Robert. That was never the lads as we know them, Stephen. Their sport was their life and their living as well. So they were. Robert always said to me, he always thought, why would they pay me for something I would do for nothing? People that actually didn't even follow bikes knew Robert and Joey. I found that really strange. So it wasn't just the fans. It was everybody that admired them for what they did, whether you're involved in the sport or not.
And yet, Louise, it brings us back to what has been at the heart of this interview, which is there you are giving a lovely tribute to Robert and describing how he passionately enjoyed his sport. And yet on the other side of that is this stark contrast of you walking into the hospital that night.
Yes.
And them telling you that your husband was dead.
Yes. Yep.
Because of the sport. And that's the stark contrast within this interview, isn't it? All of the enjoyment, all of the passion, and yet I can imagine you walking into that hospital. I can see it in my head.
You can see it, Stephen, yeah. As everybody has been through that awful, and it is, it's dreadful. You get to the hospital and you're told that. And the nurses and doctors see it every day, every single day of the week, every second of the day they're telling somebody something. But for me, this was real. This was, you know, this is what has happened. And I have to deal with this aftermath of this. But the strength I got from Robert, and I still have it today, and I still hear him a lot. You know, I do. There's no doubt. It's always in your head. You know, you look after those boys, which actually was the very words I probably would have said to him. But the boys, Robert, whether this awful accident would have happened or whether he would have gone into retirement, I didn't ever see Robert going into retirement. And actually, I didn't see that until our lives carried on. We're just surrounded by me doing my thing, him doing his thing, and he was Robert. That was the person I married.
Louise, thank you so much for sharing some of your thoughts with us.
Thank you, Stephen.